From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
And non-benders alike. Welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco.
Now, one of the biggest gets we got this season on Braving the Elements was this absolute legend of a voice actress.
Yes, who I've known since my days on the American Dragon, Jake Long.
Oh, really got your slid your other credits in there, huh?
Well, she played my mom twice. That's history.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. Friends, we are so excited to resurface one of the most iconic voices of the Avatarverse. She played Judy, who was the ever so polite front woman of Ba Sing Se's conspiracies, the wonderful Lauren Tom. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Nickelodeon was so smart to choose you guys to host this podcast. You're both so adorable.
Oh, thank you so much.
I want to adopt you.
You want to adopt us?
I do.
Oh, Lauren, you're too busy for that. You have a whole other family, and you're like the workingest woman in show business. You have so many things going on.
And some people out there know that you are my mom.
That's true. Yes, I got to play Dante's mom twice.
Twice.
Yes.
In American Dragon, Jake Long, and a pilot we did together that didn't get picked up, but it was such a good pilot. It was called The Chang Family Saves the World, produced by John Ridley and Paris Barclay. Yes.
Yes.
And this was on camera.
This was an ABC
on camera
pilot.
Somehow Lauren was supposed to pass as your mom.
I know. We were like the Fantastic Four. We were like this family that found out that we had magical powers. I guess the parents knew they had magical powers, but the kids, we found out that we had magical powers and we had to save the world.
I love that.
Yeah, our family kicked butt. We were awesome.
We were awesome for sure.
We were
the Chang family saves the world. We'll see if we can, someone can find that out there.
I was going to say, we got to get our hands on that.
Oh, man.
Beautiful beauty. That's going to be. So, okay. So we just talked about two things. Lauren, I'm going to throw out some fandoms. I'm going to throw out some projects just in the animated world. And I want everyone to know I'm not even scratching the surface, but you may know her from Dragons in Nine Realms, Disenchantment, Young Justice, King of the Hill, anyone? Too many more to count. Of course, Amy on Futurama. And this is very near and dear to my heart because up at SF Sketchfest, the comedy festival I produce, the Futurama gang has come up year after year after year, and they are sold out every year. We've had to add shows. They're like the highlight of the festival. So
that's the highlight of my year.
Oh, man.
Going there and seeing my family and doing it's so much fun at Sketchfest. Love that.
And you and Phil Lamar have been in, like, so many things together also. It's like between you and Dante and then Phil Lamar, I feel like you've got all projects ever covered. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, I cannot even tell you how grateful I am and excited that Futurama got picked up again. And I can't wait for everyone to see the new episodes. They're really funny. And yeah, I've got these two giant tuitions to pay for my kids. So I'm like, thank you, universe. That's... I can do this,
exactly.
You know.
On top of the legendary Joy Luck Club, which is just a legendary.
Well, that's just the animated stuff. Dante, name some on-screen stuff, because there's like a gajillion of those too.
I mean, everything. I mean, Friends. I mean, those are things that just jump out of my mind that I see your face like instantly.
It's so funny that I've studied as a trying to be a serious actress, you know, and doing all these classics in theater. But the thing that most people know me from is Friends, and they just want to know if David Schwimmer is a good kisser. And I'm like, it's all come to this. That's it. That's from all my years of hard work.
It's all come to
Are
that.
You kidding? No, there's no way people don't want to talk to you about Supernatural, because that is another
Supernatural.
Yeah, that's true.
Huge fandom.
The
that
biggest
is,
fandom. Oh my gosh.
They really appreciate it. Whether you do one episode or a huge long arc, they are like very present to each person who appears on that show, which is so lovely.
Man, I did only 3 episodes of Supernatural, and it's been years of loyalty and support and love from that fandom. Yeah. I have to say, Supernatural and Futurama are a really rabid fan base. And yes. They support my fundraising like nobody's business. And it just, it means the world to me. Like when I say I care about this and then they're like, okay, here's some money. I care about what you care about. It's yes. very touching.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful.
It is wild to go to the Comic Cons and when the Supernatural folks show up, you're like, what's going on over there?
I know.
Supernatural. It's, like, okay. That's what all those long lines are for?
Yeah.
The Supernatural
bunch? And then they're like, excuse us, we're going to start our own Comic Con, just a Supernatural convention all of its own. Like, we'll take those lines away and bring them over there.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. Yeah. But anyway, I'm happy to be part of that universe. And yesterday was Star Trek Day, and I did one episode of Lower Decks, and now I'm part of that family, which is really, really fun.
It's amazing.
But the Avatar family is amazing.
Yes!
Like all the memes that have come from Judy. Like, who knew that? I mean, it makes me feel like it keeps me current. You know, with the young folk.
Yeah, with the kids. Well, before we go into Avatarverse, where did it all start? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Chicago originally.
Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Did you act out there? Did you do Second City?
I was a dancer. I was super shy, so dancing was perfect for me because I didn't have to talk. And then I did a chorus line when I was really young on Broadway.
What?
Like and I was 18 years old, and everyone was much older. So they said, you know, you really should study acting. Otherwise, you'll be done by the time you're 30. Because
you did a chorus line on Broadway?
Can you believe that? That's just crazy.
That's Fosse.
Well, no, it's Michael Bennett.
It's Michael Bennett. So close.
Yeah.
One of the great choreographers.
Right.
I can't believe you did the chorus line in the 80s. That is so crazy.
Yep.
Shocking.
It's such a powerful show. I mean, I've never seen it live. I've only seen the film, but I love that show.
It was like just such a gift for me. I was 17 and I had just turned, they had to wait for me to turn 18 so that I didn't need like my parents with me. So it was really great because the cast was much older than me and they gave me the advice of, you know, you're going to be done by the time you're 30 because being a dancer is like being an athlete. So you really should study acting. So, yeah. So that was just like a gift that dropped down from nowhere.
And they really were like, you're going to have a plan B. And your plan B, yeah, it can be acting. You know, so sorry. This dance thing might not last.
Well, it's like being an athlete.
Scrape together some jobs. Doing some acting. Little did we know.
You're like J-Lo. You're a dancer, became an actor. You're like J-Lo.
Do you know that I actually auditioned against J-Lo back in the day in
really?
L.A.?
What?
And we were both, started as dancers. And then she got, I can't even remember the name of the movie, but we were both up for the same part. And it got down to the two of us. And
wow.
Yeah. I
cannot believe, I'm so glad that he randomly brought up J-Lo. That's amazing.
That is random. Perfect. Clearly they wanted someone of color. So that was good. But anyway, she got it.
Well, you've had this career. Good for her. She's fine.
Yeah,
she's fine. But you've had this career that is really like it's my ideal, and I would guess that it's Dante's as well because you do cross over so seamlessly from like the Joy Luck Club and like I watched Goliath, and you had a whole arc on that.
Oh, you watched Goliath! Thank you, Janet.
I love that show. It's so wild. Like that show, I never know what they're going to do from season to season, and the tone is always so different and strange. And so I'm always so interested to see what they're going to do. And it was very exciting to see you. And then you're going to comedy, and then you're going to animation and both sides of that. And like, and you're writing, you had a one woman show, and you also write pieces that end up in publications.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So
you sound like my mom.
Well, actually, we have her here. Could you come in here for a second? This is a big surprise. You have that kind of career where sometimes Dante and I talk about sort of diversifying and feeling like we have maybe too many plates up in the air. And then I look at someone like you and I'm like, oh, but yet I want all those plates up in the air.
Oh, you're so sweet. Whenever people ask me, young folks coming into the business and they ask for advice, I always say, try to do as many things as you possibly can to give yourself more of a chance of working. And so I just have nothing but gratitude that I can even still do this, that at my age and being like a 5 foot tall, person of color and a woman on top of it. Like, how am I even working? I just have like a ton of gratitude. And the voiceover world has really saved me through all those, the writer's strike and the thin years that we all had as actors and COVID. And, because you guys know, we never stopped recording. I was in this little closet that I'm in. in right now in my husband's closet, and I built a little recording studio. So, you know, I just feel very fortunate. And I love being able to jump between dramatic roles because it makes me dig deep. And then even this game I did called Ghosts of Tsushima, it was like the first game I ever did. And that I had to dig so deep for that because my character, Lady Misako, like her whole family gets killed and then I'm trying to avenge them. And wow, that was really challenging. And who knew? Like, have you guys ever done a game? It's really hard.
It's like a new thing that came out while we've been working. It's like all of a sudden, it's a new way to tell stories, video games.
Correct.
And here we are like, like the generation before us did no video games, and now that's something we do. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, and I had all this equipment I had to wear, like, on my head and on my body and try to keep it from
falling
off.
Oh, you were doing, like, motion capture stuff.
It was motion cap.
Oh, my gosh. That's so hard to keep
all of that. And then to dig
deep
and be, like, sobbing and rageful and then trying to keep this thing from falling off my head. It was just, like, it was so challenging.
As you're like, this is the future, I guess.
Spandex acting.
We're all doing
Blue Man Group. What's going on here?
I know. Right. And then also you guys know too that during COVID when we were recording everything from home, you had to be your own engineer too. So that was like a learning curve. And I was like, hey, an old dog can learn new tricks. But I felt like, you know, we had to slate before each of our lines, which really kind of takes you out of the moment. It's like take 117. I mean, you know, it was a lot to learn. I really have to take my hat off to everyone, you know, like just everyone for getting through this time. We've all had to just adapt and learn and grow and stay patient and stay loving to ourselves and other people because, like, everything goes wrong. I mean, not everything, but, like, little things go wrong still, like, every day, just from people being a little bit foggy and a little bit off center, you know?
Yeah, that's very true.
So just to put in chronological order the context of when you did Avatar with us.
Yes.
I guess you were doing Teen Titans and Witch, right?
Wow, you've done your research. I don't know these things.
Were you aware of Avatar at the time when you're working on the show and when you got cast as Judy? And do people ever bring it up to you at cons or other places about that character?
All the time. And I'm always shocked because, again, I only did two episodes, but it just shows you how huge the fandom is for this show. And I actually feel like I should make an 8x10 print of Judy because people ask for it and I'm just not prepared in my mind. And it's really been such a gift. And also just being able to work with Andrea Romano on anything is just right. You guys, like, she's the best voiceover director out there. I just feel always like I'm in such good hands. I feel confident because she's so trusting in our talent that it's kind of like, yeah, of course, you know, like whatever I do, I feel like is the right choice.
Right.
But that's the best thing a director can give you, I think, is that freedom and the trust.
I was so lucky. I just started. I mean, I was still early in voiceover and I got to do the show with Andrea and it was so good. And it's amazing. She's such a legend. And what's funny is we did an Avatar reunion recently with a lot of the series regulars. And we had Andrea on and she's retired, you know, so she hasn't been working in a few years.
Right.
But as soon as she got on, it was like she was directing us again in the panel.
Oh, my gosh. Of course
and we were
she
all
was
like,
directing
okay.
the course of where the panel was going.
We were just like, whatever.
Okay, that's hilarious.
Like, that's where we're going.
Aw.
It was hilarious.
Man, that must have been fun for you, Dante. Just and you were there too, Janet, right?
Well, I was watching because I was in Korra, but not Avatar Last Airbender.
So I just
came in as a fan and was watching and, you know, happened to know a lot of the people, but was like just fangirling out with everybody else. But I absolutely can agree with Dante. Yeah, Andrea was like, now we should talk about da-da-da. And I was like, oh, okay. She just totally knew
and
where
Jack,
to take it.
And Jack, what did you feel about? And we're like, okay.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man, that must have been so much fun for you.
No, it's great. And I love seeing her. I get to see her at cons. Sometimes we get to cross paths at cons, and it's always great to just catch up with her and just see how she's doing, how's retirement treating her.
Yep, you know? I just saw her at a Batman Beyond convention, and that was super fun.
I mean, you must have worked with her so many times throughout the years.
Well, I'm so grateful that she thought of me because it was right when I was on Friends, too.
Oh, wow.
And so she brought me in to be Batman's girlfriend, Dana Tan.
She brought me on a Batman thing too, and then she couldn't make the record, so I had to record with someone else.
Oh.
And I, you know, it's one of those things you don't audition for, and you're just in there, and you're like, why did Ron Drea think I could do this? I need her here with me right now.
I have to say, that's such a double-edged sword, because it's like, there's nothing I love better than getting a straight offer, because I hate auditioning so much.
Right.
Yes.
But the other side of that is just that you're not sure why they chose you, and you're not...
Right. And then if they're not there, they can't tell you why they chose you.
Exactly.
And then you're just looking at someone else like... Andrea said I could do this role. What kind of powers do I have? What's going on? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that we manage to, like, wherever our insecurity can find to weasel in, it's like, I will find a way to be worried about this, whether it's the compliment of getting the offer, I will find a way to be stressed out about that just as much as, like, having auditioned, will I get fired? Like,
classic
we are so
actor.
Good. At going to that place. Yeah.
Yeah.
But wait, I just want to ask really quick, Lauren, sorry. Did you take voiceover classes, or was that one of those things where you had been acting and then the voiceover world, like, opened itself to you in a specific way through an agent or something?
I never took voiceover acting classes. I think they're out there. And, you know, when people ask me, how do I get into it? I always refer them to my friend Dee Bradley Baker's website called I Want to Be a Voice Actor. It's like the easiest thing in the world, because that
thing. And he's so thorough about it. And he keeps updating it.
He spent so much time and energy putting that together. And I always say that I feel like the key to voice acting is being a good actor. So I don't 100%. Really think it's very different from that. So take acting lessons. And that's what happened with me. King of the Hill was my first voiceover audition.
Oh, wow.
And I went in person. And they recorded me right there at the table with a little mic. And I just felt like my talent agent just sent me in as an audition, just like any other audition. And then from there, I don't know if you guys will agree, but I think it's very insular. Like, once you break in, you tend to get passed around.
A bit. It's a small world.
It's a small world. Know? And then for your type, because I do feel like producers like to cast as close to the role as they can. Like, so if, especially if they're looking for, you know, an Asian woman, then that's sort
of
like
Lauren
just
Tom. Can we get Lauren Tom in here?
Yeah. Kind of like that.
I went to Kevin Michael Richardson's,
who's
another alumni from the show. His birthday was one of the big years of his.
Aww.
He rented like a big boat, and it took all the voice actors out on this boat
for
the evening. And it was stacked with everybody. Everybody was
there.
And I was like, first of all, I was like, how did I get here? One. Like, Mark Hamill's there.
Oh my gosh, he's so great.
DiMaggio. I mean, all the big voice actors are there. And then I thought, if this boat sinks, what are we going to do? What's going to happen if this boat sinks?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I have a similar story that we did a chorus line for Reagan. This is how old I am.
Oh, wow.
They flew our cast to the White House, right?
Oh,
and he was giving a little speech before our performance. And he said, there are so many governors and heads of state in this audience right now. It would be an awful thing if a bomb dropped here right now. It was the most
awkward
moment.
Such a
enjoy
the show, everyone.
I mean, it was like dead silent. Like, how do you recover from that little blurb? Anyway, it was funny.
But you've done a lot of theater.
I've done a lot of theater, yeah. I've done a lot of
avant-garde. You did a one-man show?
I did a one-person show, yeah.
My apologies, a one-woman show?
No, that's okay. HBO was having like a festival in Aspen, and they were they're doing this diversity program where they chose people of color to write about their stories. And so I was one of those people. And then I did my show in Aspen, and then they filmed excerpts of it, because there were lots of performers. And then I ended up traveling around the country doing the show at colleges. And that's the closest I'll ever get to Harvard.
I know.
But it was really fun for me to just interact with young people and to tell my story. It's kind of like the story is about my grandmother's journey, how she came from China to the United States, and how it's woven in with it was about my search for inner peace and enlightenment. Mm. So it was called 25 Psychics, and it's about all the insane, wacko, like
25
quacks,
psychics?
Yeah, that I met. Trying to find like enlightenment, but
I want to see this show.
You need to hang out with Gray DeLisle.
Oh, I love Gray. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gray has sent a lot of people to psychics, and unfortunately, I'm one of them.
I went to a party at Gray's house, and there were psychic readings and
of
bingo.
Of course, there were.
Yeah.
Well, bingo and psychic readings.
That birthday party, we were both there. I just realized.
Did they hit anything right, Dante?
I think I won bingo. I hit that right. I don't remember. I was so...
When I was doing Joylet Club, the producer, who's like a good friend of mine, Janet Yang, she said, Lauren, don't tell so many people that you believe in that. It's like outing yourself. And I was like, what? She goes, it just makes you seem like a ditz. She goes, I'm just trying to watch out for you, honey.
You're like, well, what I'm going to go ahead and do is put it into a successful show that's going to tour the country. So I'm going to go ahead and do the exact opposite, and it's going to work out great.
Oh, anyway.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah. Just going to say, I just think there's too much in the world that we don't have the capacity to understand. So I just leave my mind open that there's a lot of mystery, like, which is a good segue into Avatar, too. Like, you never know, like, what's going on.
Right. Absolutely. You're so right. And that is one of the big appeals about it, because it's not pulling its punches. It's not living in a fantasy world where conflicts don't arise and where, you know, serious things aren't happening. That's not the case at all. But it is giving a voice to some of our own internal spirituality and, of course, paying tremendous homage to various Eastern cultures. And, you know, we have some Native American influence in there, and it's just such a beautiful rendering. But there is a lot of mystery inside of that universe as well.
Yes,
and, you know, here we have with your character, the gang coming into this city of, we'll call it our city of walls and secrets, since that's actually an episode title about Ba Sing Se. And it's almost the polar opposite of what you would expect or hope from a city inside the Avatar verse, which is like, everybody's in denial and everybody's conditioned to be in denial about any conflict happening. And that's the way you keep yourself sane, right? Is like, no, don't ask questions. Don't explore your thoughts. Don't explore what's happening outside of these walls. As long as you just ignore all of that, that's what makes you safe. And you're the opposite of that, obviously. You're a seeker, you know? But here you play this character who's sort of been like conditioned,
brainwashed.
Brainwashed, exactly. Yeah. Into, you know, no, please, let's not, no.
And how appropriate for our times now. Like, there is no such thing as COVID in Ba Sing Se.
I know. There is no war in Ba Sing Se. It's so wild how this show, all these years later, is so poignant for today and these times. And we talked about, Janet and I talked about it, where we told the story where a kid came up to me and he was at New York City Comic Con. He was raving about the show and growing up with the show. And I was like, I'm glad that, you know, we all grew up together. And he goes, no, you don't understand. You programmed our generation. I said, what? He goes, you guys, this show programmed our generation. I was like looking at him and like the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And he goes, we are the generation that brought protests back, brought Black Lives Matter back,
man.
Me Too movement. We're trying to get the world back in balance. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
What? So, I mean,
I could see why your hair stood up.
I know. Yeah. Me too. I was looking at this kid like,
did you want to hug him?
You know, we're actors and we do stuff and we do work, and a show like this becomes so impactful worldwide. I mean, we have no clue what we're doing is going to have that kind of ripple in the future, decades later.
Yes.
I was almost in awe of the situation, you know, standing outside it. Like, it wasn't not me. It's like this whole thing that I'm a part of is.
Yeah.
I probably was dumbfounded in the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like it's our responsibility to honor that and be grateful for it. And gosh, so many of the people that we have on the show share that gratitude. So I think you're more right than that wonderful young man was willing to or even knew when you said we all grew up together. And he was like, no. But it's like, I don't know, because if you get to work on amazing projects with amazing people and you don't lose sight of that gratitude, then you are growing up together. Like you are growing up
100%.
In the environment that can either turn you into the best or worst version of yourself. If you lean on things that are really hard about what we do, you know, you can sort of be molded into a version of yourself you wouldn't necessarily like, or you can, you know, take the lessons from shows like this and from meeting fans who've had those experiences and build off of that and realize that you're inspiring people to create their own stuff, but also inspiring people on the front lines. Like somebody, you know, we have like EMTs and doctors and teachers and people coming in who are like, I understand that you weren't on the front lines, but you have to know I wouldn't have been able to do it if I didn't have Avatar, you know, to watch. And that's true of so many things that you have been a part of. Like I know people feel that way about Futurama, which is a slightly lighter and funnier show. But that's also the thing that gets somebody through, because they needed to have that laugh and they needed to feel that connection with the people who are showing up to make that show so special, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, it really had such a profound effect on me to hear feedback like that, because I don't know about you guys, but just growing up, I just felt like I didn't have any other aptitude other than like the creative side. Yeah, I never felt like I was actually a contributing member of society until I started getting feedback like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And also just being a person of color, like one of the most memorable experiences I had was when a young Asian woman came up to me after Friends came out and said it was the first time she'd ever seen herself on screen and how much that meant to her.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing really resonates with us as actors, I think, because it makes you feel like you. Yeah. My son asked me like the other day, like, what do you want your legacy to be? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's a deep question. And I just, you know, it makes me think of that, because it's sort of like that I left the world a better place, that I in some way like gave something rather than just took a lot of things,
right.
You know?
Yeah. You're such a pioneering part of the Asian American arts community. And, you know, we're in this golden era, you know, Crazy Rich Asians post Shang-Chi, all that kind of stuff going on. Yeah. Like, it's this golden era of Asians in pop culture and the arts worldwide. And you're part of the pioneering era that kind of like we're ushering that in, and it's still a part of it now, of course, but you know, it's part of your legacy.
That's really sweet of you to say. Yeah.
So for your reward, in addition to just getting to hang out with us, which I know is reward in and of itself, let's pretend like in this alternate universe that we're building for you, we can give you a hybrid animal, since Avatar is very much known for its various hybrid animals.
Well, you know, I just think Momo is the cutest ever. But she's I have to say, who I resonate with the most is the lion turtle. Because I'm a Leo, right? Mm-hmm. So the lion, I mean, just the image of that animal is so beautiful to me. And so I've got the lion and I've got the ancient, because I'm so old, but I feel like
you're timeless, Lauren. You're timeless.
Dare you?
But all the qualities that those two animals have, I would love to think that I have some of those in me. Just about like the fierceness and the protectiveness of a lion, like protecting their children. Right? Since I'm a mom in real life.
Absolutely.
And then the turtle, like just having that patience and that ability to wait, you know, just being really wise. Yeah. That's what I would trying to go for. But I actually feel like I'm kind of far from that. I feel like I'm more like Momo, you know, like just this cute little thing. But anyway.
Momo's come in real handy plenty of times. He has definitely saved the day once or twice. Yeah. I love that. Because we haven't fully gotten to lion turtle world yet, we haven't really taken that apart. But I don't even know if we would have thought to take it apart the way you just did. And I love it. Like, I have a deeper respect now for the lion turtle than I even did before, which I didn't know it could. no, but like breaking down those qualities, like that's
really
lovely.
It's great.
You know, because I could talk about otter penguins forever, but what am I saying? I'm like, oh, because, you know, they're cute.
exactly.
They're both
they like
cute.
To have fun.
Cute goes a long way.
Both animals.
Cute things with
curious.
Big heads are the best.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Lauren's like, I'd love to have the patience of the turtle. I'm like, oh, no. I'd like to slide on my belly. Oh, no. This is, I gotta dig a little deeper.
No, I'm pretty shallow, too, because I just like the way they look.
Well, you managed to give that a lot of cred, if that's all it was. I'm very impressed.
Now, another question we ask all our guests within the Avatarverse, but you know, you're actually in so many universes, you can ship anybody anywhere. We talk about ships, which is relationships, things that did happen that are canon, or a lot of fans out there like to do things out of canon that they wish would have happened. Is there any characters that you ship?
So I like to keep things super wholesome. So I'm going to say Aang and Toph. Because
I actually ship them too. I ship them
really?
Too. You know,
yeah.
I like that pairing.
You know, I'm a mom. I like things that are wholesome. what can I say?
Oh, poor Judy.
Poor Judy.
She was in a tough spot.
Hopefully, she wakes up. You know.
Yeah.
She's like in the zombie land. Sometimes I was like, all these big things. I wonder what the figurative thing is. Like, I was like, what is the figurative thing of like vampires or werewolves or what zombies? I was like, oh, that's what the zombie thing is. Is like us walking around, not really questioning the world.
That sounds
and just
terrible.
Aimlessly walking through life. That's
yeah.
Guys, I'm so sorry to have to bring the room down, but the thing I just found when I went to Avatar, the Avatar Wiki, it was part of a ship of the week, and it's called Jew Squared. Jew Squared is the ship between one Judy and another Judy.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. There you go. Wow. Ask and you shall receive. I just got shipped with myself.
Judy Squared.
That is amazing. Well, we do know that our original Judy gets replaced with another Judy who I suspect is also Lauren Tom's voice, just slightly,
yes.
You know, it's different. You're doing a different voice.
Just repeated.
But, we do have more than one Judy, so I get it. I wasn't expecting it. But I get it.
Yeah, that's actually quite...
It's amazing. Well, each would understand what the other had been through,
that's,
I'll tell you
that's
that.
That's true. It's pretty clever.
Yeah, their jobs are very, very stressful. Okay, and also, if you've had a chance to think about it at all, but there are a lot of really amazing kind of adversarial relationships in Avatar, and they change and morph with time. So the people who are enemies become allies,
right.
And vice versa. And is there someone that you really like, a character in Avatar that is kind of a big bad, whether they stay that way or not, that you're attracted to in some way?
So I think for me, like the two characters that come to mind are Azula, you know, and Long Feng. And you know, Azula does come around, but it's kind of like I'm not a big fan of coups, you know, and they were so plotting and manipulative. And then, you know, Long Feng was my immediate boss. And so I just kind of feel like I have a more personal, like, against him. So
Clancy has one of those voices where the second you hear his voice connected with the character, you're like, uh-oh. Like, there's something going on here. It doesn't mean that he's a villain, but he is someone I feel gets pulled in for complicated, really interesting, very smart characters who you're like, there's something here I need to pay attention to when it's Clancy Brown's voice.
The irony is that Clancy Brown is a friend
he's
of mine,
so
and
lovely.
You could not, like, find
so
another,
lovely.
Like, right? He is an amazing
so
person
warm.
With so much integrity and intelligence and humor. And I just adore him and his family. And, you know, our kids, my little one just started in college and his daughter went to the same college. So, you know, they got connected and she was helping him through and in the transition. He's just a great person. And it is funny how many villains and bad guys he
plays.
He is
intimidating, though. I've worked with Clancy a few times and every time he's in the booth, it's always like, he is intimidating. He's very tall. His
just
presence.
Physically.
He knows how to turn that on.
Physically tall and his voice is physically intimidating.
Yeah, but then he's Mr. Krabs, too. And, you know, but wasn't he also Lex Luthor?
That's such a genius casting.
Yeah,
such genius casting to be like, and then Mr. Krabs. Like,
right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you have so many friends within the voiceover world and Avatar alumni like Clancy or Phil. And I'm sure you guys are working on multiple shows at the same time. Do you keep it like when you're in different booths on different shows, are you like kind of keep it in order in your brain? Like,
well, I think we're all just as
what's
actors.
Our relationship today?
No, we just like try to live in the present, right? That's like the goal of being an actor. To just kind of be in the moment where you are.
Yeah.
But it takes us forever because those guys are always goofing around.
Those are the best days. And
yeah.
It takes forever because everyone's cracking up the whole time. Inside jokes and people being wild.
You
up
know,
in the
I
booth.
Can't remember because it's been so long ago. Did we record Avatar like a radio play or one at a time?
As much as we can, of course. You know, they
as
try to get
can,
us in the booth. But then
as much
once
as
everyone
they can,
starts working, everyone starts moving around a little bit.
Yeah, okay. It's so much better when you can be together, but...
Totally agree. Well, that's one of the things that's so great about Andrea Romano is, like, if you don't have the pleasure of getting to do that, you feel at least, like, Andrea's going to take me as close to that place as possible.
How does she stitch it together
if the cast
like
can't
that.
Be there? She's really good at creating that same safe space, even if it's just a one-on-one, you know?
True. I agree.
All right, we got to ask you the big question, the biggest
the big
of
question.
The bigs. Do you have a sense, and I feel that you do because you had such a great answer for why you love a lion turtle, do you think you know what kind of elemental bender you would be? Every time I say bender to you, I feel like you're thinking about drama. So it's like a whole different
right,
level
right,
of
right.
bending.
Not that,
not that
not
bender.
That bender
is
no.
bender. Bender is a metal bender, I guess.
Yeah,
so he's
I guess so.
Probably an earthbender. Lauren, what kind of bender would you be?
So I think, again, because of me being a Leo, I would be a firebender. However, having said
Fire
that,
Fire Nation.
Oh,
what?
I took the BuzzFeed quiz.
You did take the BuzzFeed
and
quiz.
And I came out as an airbender. So that confused me.
That's the
so I'm not really sure.
That's the dancer in you. Like,
is that what it is? I just tried to answer the questions truthfully, and that's what they spit out. So
I could see that,
I don't know.
Too.
Maybe I could be both.
Well, we talk about that, too. We're always like, why does it have to be the avatar who can do all of them or just a type of bending where it's just one? Like, what about a twofer?
Exactly.
What if you are like just
right.
air and fire?
Right. How about a twofer?
I'd say you've earned
perfectly
it.
Perfectly articulated.
We're going to say that you are both an airbender and a firebender.
This is
Lauren.
This, is so
this has been so lovely and wonderful. We adore you. We would love for you to tell people if there's something they should be checking out. I know we've talked about a lot of different projects. If there's anything current that you are really excited for people to check out, and you know where to follow you on social media if you're into that stuff, please.
Oh, that would be wonderful. So you already mentioned a couple of them. So well, Disenchantment is done now, but I loved being on that, and the Futurama episode should be airing, I think, early next year. And then Dragons and Nine Realms, I play the mother again. my character's name is Mei Wong, and that's really a ton of fun. And then I actually have an on-screen movie coming out. I'm not sure what the date is, but maybe to just put it on people's radar, that it's called One True Loves with an S at the end.
One True Loves.
And it's by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Yeah, she wrote Daisy and the Six. She's a novelist. And so this film... It was based on her novel of the same title. And Dante, you'll love this, that it was written for a white family in New England, right? And they cast the whole cast as Asian.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Right.
Wow.
And we never mention it.
I can't wait to see this.
Right. That's so great. It stars Simu Liu from Shang-Chi and then Philippa Hsu from Hamilton.
Yeah.
And she plays my daughter, and Michaela Conlon plays my other daughter. And then I'm married to a white guy, a Michael O'Keefe, who you might remember.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's a great actor. So that was just such a joy to work on, and it made me feel good in so many ways, just about the diversity and the open thinking for them to even consider that, for everyone to be open to that idea is kind of really cool.
We're like in a new era of filmmaking, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so that's it.
Got it. Are you on social media? Can people follow you so they'll actually even
that's
get a little,
great,
they'll find
you.
Out exactly when One True Loves comes out?
So I'm the same address on both. I'm LaurenTom9000 on Instagram and Twitter. And I don't really do Facebook or anything like
LaurenTom9000. That.
LaurenTom9000. And the reason it's 9000 is because I put in LaurenTom, there was already one. Then I put LaurenTom1. LaurenTom 2, LaurenTom 3, and then when I got to 4, like, oh my gosh, all of those addresses are taken already. I'm just skipping to 9,000.
Lauren goes from 0 to 9,000 that quick.
That's right. I go from 0 to 9,000.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you again so much for being with us. We'll
so
let you,
good to see you.
Resume your millions of projects.
That was super fun.
And, boy, you're the best. Okay.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Stay well.
Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Avatar Braving the Elements. And hey, make sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a review. All of that really helps the podcast so much. And we love you guys.
Next week, we're recapping one of my favorite episodes of season 2 with one of my favorite people. We're talking The Tales of Ba Sing Se with Danielle Radford.
You can follow me on social media at The JV Club on Instagram and at Janet Varney on Twitter.
And I'm at Dante Bosco on both of those.
We'll see you next Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.